three verses. It's a should be a passage that's familiar to all of us. If we were to title the chapter, would be Jesus, Our Example. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, Jesus, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Now, I don't ask for the visions that God gives me, but when he gives me a vision, I pay attention. Because I don't always understand the fullness initially of what he's showing me. But as I was waiting yesterday with eyes closed, quietly before the Lord, I received a brief vision of a lens or a pupil of an eye transitioning the opening from large to small, becoming more narrowly focused. You understand the image there? Do you know what happens when you're exposed to a bright light? If someone puts a bright light or a flashlight in your eye, your pupil accommodates. It contracts to let less light in. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to see. You would literally be blinded by the light. And so, God is saying something to us about responding to the light. So pay attention this morning. That's really the crux of the message. The word focus, because that's what I saw happening in this vision, to focus is an adjustment for distinct vision. Or the focus is that area that may be seen distinctly or resolved into a clear image. To focus is to adjust the focus of, bring into focus. And I thought of just scientifically, or things in the natural, like a microscope or a telescope or binoculars or even eyeglasses. But when you, in order to adjust that lens so that you can see things clearly, what do you have to do? You have to manually make that adjustment in order to bring clarity so that you can see clearly that which you desire to see. And obviously there's a spiritual implication or lesson that is behind this concept or spiritual eyesight. And I would say that during this season, it's imperative or crucial to spiritually discern or see what it is that God is doing. But much more than that, it's not, when God does something, there's an overall or generic sense for the body of Christ, but there's also a particular sense. What does that mean to me? What does that require of me? What response are you looking for from me in all of this? So I've entitled this morning's message, Finding and Fine-Tuning Your Focus. Finding and Fine-Tuning Your Focus. Five things in these three verses. Number one, from verse one, lighten your load. Deal with the obstacles or hindrances to seeing, if I could say it that way. It says there in verse one, Hebrews 12, lay aside every encumbrance or weight. The Amplified Version is a little more emphatic. It says, strip off or throw aside every encumbrance or unnecessary weight. To encumber is to weigh down or burden, to impede or hamper the function or activity of, to hinder. So in a spiritual sense, what it's telling us is we need to deal with those things that are hindering our spiritual progress or obstacles to us moving forward, spiritually speaking, in our life and in our walk and in our ministry. Now, most of my life, many of you know, not all, most of my adult life, I've worked outdoors. And because of that, I've had to learn to accommodate the weather, to accommodate the atmosphere. And so I have come to learn the best way to do that is to wear appropriate clothing. So I wear zippered clothing so I can, as the intensity of the activity increases, I can adjust, I can make those little fine adjustments so that I'm not sweating profusely. Or if it's an activity where I'm going to be using my upper body a lot, I'll wear a vest instead of something that's more confining, where it restricts the movement of my arms and my hands. Same thing, you know, if I want to cut down a 30-foot tree, I don't use a little 6-inch, 12-inch handsaw. I use the right tool. I use a chainsaw because I would be there all day like this, and it would be futile. And it would be extremely frustrating. So God is trying to acclimate us to the season, to the temperature of the season, if you will. But he also wants us to use the right tools. He's going to equip us so that we don't get frustrated and so that we succeed, in other words, in what he's requiring of us, asking of us. The other word there where it says lay aside or strip off the sin which so easily entangles us. One thing that is very prevalent in this area, and even though the name is sweet, the vegetation is not. It's called honeysuckle. And I've battled that for 25 years in my yard. What honeysuckle does, it's pretty, it's lush, but what it does is it wraps around the vegetation and it literally chokes the life out of valuable foliage. And it steals nutrients. But most importantly, it can become so pervasive that it blocks the light. And so, spiritually speaking, it's telling us here, if the Holy Spirit begins to pinpoint something in your life that's entangling, it's wanting to make inroads and choke the life out of that God has given you, that abundant life, we need to strip it off. We need to do something. We need to cut it. And no matter what it takes, and I did that this fall. I didn't give it a chance to come up and become green, the honeysuckle, that is. I cut a lot of it back. It'll even kill a full-grown tree. That's how destructive it is. It stunts growth, that's the other thing. But most importantly, it prevents the light from shining on. And this is what sin does with all of us. It prevents the light from accomplishing its work in us. Because in case you haven't figured out, you haven't arrived yet. It's an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Romans 13, 11 and 12. The day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. And the rest of that verse is there. That salvation is nearer now than it was when we first believed. And so forth. Likewise, Ephesians speaks to this concept as well. Ephesians 4, 22-24. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So God will do his part. But this part of laying aside, recognizing those things that want to make inroads into our life, that is our responsibility. That is your responsibility to do something with those things. And so this is how he said it to me. We need to decide to deal so you can heal. Because a lot of it is related to us becoming healed from life's experiences, both pre-Christ as well as since we've become born again. Deal so you can heal, and then you'll see with a fresh and a clear focus. You know, sometimes we think we see, but even the scripture refers to seeing in a mirror darkly or dimly. We don't have the real, full, accurate picture. It's a, and actually Kathy has these. Some of you that wear glasses have progressive lenses. And this is the same thing with our walk and our spiritual vision. It should be improving. It should become clearer all the time, progressively. But the other thing about those progressive lenses, because Kathy just ordered some new progressive lens sunglasses, they cost more. They will cost you. This progressive vision or revelation that we need will cost us something. But the cost is well worth it. You know, her current sunglasses, I've repaired like four or five times with super glue. So she bought a more expensive pair this time. It's hard to pay it up front, but it, as you probably have found out, it's worth it in the long run to pay a higher cost up front. Number two, from verse one also, buckle down and buckle up. What does it say there? It talks about running the race with endurance. In other words, strengthen your resolve to finish your mission with Jesus and for Jesus, pressing forward to the finish line. Endurance is the ability to withstand hardship, adversity, or stress. I know none of you have any stress in your everyday life. Absolutely none, right? Well, that's what endurance. You need to ask the Lord for endurance so that you can withstand the hardship, the stress, and these things, trials, suffering. One of the synonyms for endurance is guts. Having guts, having stamina, having stick-to-itiveness. In other words, in the face of adversity, you don't back down because you know who your Jesus is. And you say, no, I'm not going there. Buckle down and buckle up. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Also, Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive that which was promised. A few more scriptures about endurance. 2 Timothy 2:12, for if we endure, we shall also reign with him. That's the promise. On that day. 2 Peter 1:5 to 10, I'm only focusing in on verse 10, but you do well to read it in context at your leisure. Be all the more certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. And the rest of those verses highlight those things that we need to focus on in our walk with the Lord. Now, some of you may not know or realize, but I have been in this church for 14 years. I've never been in a church this long in my Christian walk. And the reason I can stay here, and the reason I can stay the course with all that's happened here, and there's a lot that's happened here in 14 years, is because I am secure in who I am in Jesus Christ. I know who my God is. I know what he said the future of this church is, and I know that he has the power and the commitment to see it through. That's why I am still here. Many have left. Many have fallen by the wayside. And many are not even walking with the Lord that once came here. But that, my friends, is endurance. And I don't take the credit. That's something that God has graced me with. It comes with the call. I'm not a quitter. Not a quitter, because I know my God, and I know in the end, no matter what he has ordained for me to walk through or for this church to walk through, we will rise victorious. Second Timothy 1:12, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. How about you? I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. He's a mighty God. He's a faithful God. And there's things he's spoken to me that have not come to pass. But my faith remains solid and strong. And I know my God. And he's faithful. So we need to look forward as we move forward. That's how he said it to me. I'm not looking behind me. I'm looking forward to my future, both personally with the Lord and corporately with all of you in the entity called Freedom Worship Center. That is changing the core values, the mission, the vision. That's never changed. But, you know, when the heat is on, it seems like things are changed dramatically. Well, in some ways they do. But the core, the crux of who we are as a people has not changed. Number three, identify and pursue with passion that which God wants to identifies as your focus, your life mission even, if we could say it that way. In order to go the distance, you have to see into the distance. You have to see the future as if it's today, even though it's not a reality yet. When God confirms something to you, or when God speaks his word to you, whether it's personally or as a church, all the power and provision to make it happen are released when God speaks that word. And the faith to walk in it as well. Talks about there the race set before us. And the race set before you in particular. Your race is not my race. I don't say that in a negative way. I just saying you have a particular calling. You have a particular mission or purpose from the Lord. And you need to identify that and pursue it with passion. You need to identify and take steps to fulfill the calling the Lord has ordained for you. The Amplified calls that race set before us the appointed course of the race. Appointed by who? Appointed by him, of course. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. That our God may count you worthy of your calling, and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power, in order that the name of Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I have found over the years that many times God doesn't do things the way I want him to do things. How about you? He does it in a way I'm like, why are you doing it that way? But in the end, I see the wisdom of God. But sometimes we get so limited in our vision, we think we have it all figured out. But we need to remember God's ways are not our ways. But the challenge is to accommodate, make that gap narrower and narrower, narrowing the focus so that God's ways become our ways in the way we relate, in the way we live. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to works, but according to his own purpose and grace. There it is. According to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. You know, it's hard to fathom, but I'll illustrate it this way. Before my grandson Elias was born, and he just turned 2, and of course it's a joy watching him develop and so forth, his personality. But before he was even born, God gave Kathy a vision of a mantle coming down upon my grandson. Not my mantle. Not his dad's mantle. His own mantle. His own anointing, purpose, and grace from Almighty God before he was even born. And that is true. And that's what this verse is saying. But the problem is, Our life quest is to discover what that is. Sometimes we don't get it right away, or it takes us a while to get it. And even when we get it, sometimes we think God's going to do it this way. And he has totally other plans in mind. If someone ever told me I was going to preach the gospel, I would have had a good hearty laugh, along with many other people in my life that knew what my life used to look like before I was apprehended by Jesus Christ. So we need to keep our eye on the prize and pursue with dogged determination, by his grace and for his glory, that which he identifies for us, and pursue it with passion. Number 4. Maintain focus, from verse 2, talks about fixing our eyes on Jesus, or your translation may read, looking to Jesus. Maintaining focus. But what you don't catch there in the English is, it's not just talking about focusing or fixing or looking to Jesus. It's also, the concept there of the Greek is looking away from all else that will distract. At the same time, you're looking to Jesus, but you're excluding. You're deliberately looking away from all those things that would distract or prevent you from walking in God's best. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the Amplified says, the leader and source of our faith. Now, my 2 girls aren't here, only 1 is here. Actually, I have 3 now because I have a granddaughter. But the 2 I live with know that my vision is very intense. And when I look at them, I always win the staring contest. You ever do that when you were a kid? The first one to blink loses. See, she has to look away. The idea there of maintaining focus is to fixate, to focus or concentrate one's gaze upon something to the exclusion of all else. And yes, that can be intense. This is what it says about Jesus when he was on his life mission to the cross. Luke 9, 51. And it came about when the days were approaching for his ascension, he resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem. His mind was made up. He knew what was in store for him, but he resolutely, he fixated, he focused exclusively on that which the Father had required of him, asked of him, and was requiring of him. Resolutely set his face. The Amplified says steadfastly or determinedly set his face. Find need to be bold, steadfast, and courageous looking to the future. Finding and fine-tuning that focus that's individual, that's unique, that's distinct for you, and that God has given you a mantle for, your own mantle to carry. Philippians 3, 12 to 14. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Finding and fine-tuning your focus. Number 5, refresh and renew your vision. You ever, well, of course, not ever. I know it's happened to everyone in this room. You've stared at the computer screen or your tablet or your iPhone for, I don't want to say how long, until your eyes begin to water, right? And what do you have to do? You have to look away for a while. You have to refresh your eyes. This happens to me, and I'm not on there that much. I can't even wear these reading glasses very long before I have to take a break. And I even have to close my eyes just to give my eyes a rest or refresh, so that then when I go back to the task at hand, I can have refreshed or renewed vision. This applies to our life mission, what God wants us to do as well, because sometimes we need a break. That's what rest means, taking a break. And I've been accused of not resting as much as I should by a few of you. Consider Jesus, look at his example, is what it's saying there, of maintaining clear and strong vision and purpose despite being mocked, misunderstood, and misused. His vision didn't waver. He would take time to refresh himself. Many times in the Gospels, what does it say? Jesus went to the mountain. That was his place of solace, of privacy from the ministry, where he would rest and get refreshed and get his vision refreshed and renewed. Habakkuk, however you decide to pronounce that, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come, and it will not delay. This is the testing, my friends, because we want it. We want it now. God says something. We want it. Okay, let's get on with it. But it's in that process of submitting to how God's going to do it that he builds character and Christian growth in our life and in our walk with him. Mark 2:22. The number two is witness. So no one puts new wine into old wineskins, because what happens? The wineskin gets burst and ruined, and you lose the wine also. So you put new wine into new wineskins, or as we've heard from Brother Andrew, that word really means renewed wineskins. And I hope when I visit him in about 3 weeks in Israel, I'm going to get a chance to see this, because what they do is they soak these old skins when they become cracked and brittle. They soak them in water and they dry them out, and then they take oil and they massage it. They renew it. So instead of throwing it away and discarding it, they renew the wineskin. And that's what God does with us. He doesn't write us off just because we make a mistake. He's made an investment. The blood of his son is upon your life and upon mine. And so he just continues that process of renewing us and healing us. New wine into new wineskins. So we need to seek and receive fresh or renewed vision from the Lord, or renewed focus, if you want to say it that way. You have to understand and know the times when you need to rest, and the times when you need to just stop what you're doing. The list will still be there tomorrow. If you don't accomplish everything on it today, it's still going to be there tomorrow. It is such a valuable lesson, and it's a good thing to study here in David's life. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. The people were upset. They were, you know, when things were going well, this is just what happens in the ministry. When everything's going smoothly, everything's going well, oh, good job, Pastor. You know, then as soon as something happens they don't like, the knives come out in the back. So David had done so much good, and then they got upset with him, and they even talked about stoning him to death in this passage, if you read the whole passage. And what does David do? It says, but David strengthened himself, or encouraged himself, in the Lord. He renewed his vision of what God had called him to do, and he started again. He took the criticism, he took all those things, but he went with them to the Lord, and he strengthened himself. He allowed God to pour into him fresh or renewed vision. So we need to stay connected to the Lord, and he will supply not just the vision we need and the focus, but all our needs, Philippians 4:19. And keep us on track so that we will find and then fine-tune our focus or our vision or our mission of that which God has called us to. You may not always understand you're like me, I know that to be true. But I've come to know that God knows what he's doing. You know, I never wanted to pastor, I never wanted to preach. Quite honestly, I am being blunt honest with you. But I had to come to terms with it because that was God's desire for me. You understand? I could, and we just learned about this last week about Paul's Damascus Road experience. And the Lord says, it's hard to kick against the goads. And that's that shepherd's stick. That when the animals get stubborn, the sheep get stubborn, they get poked. It's a long stick, and believe me, they will go in the direction the shepherd desires when they start feeling that prod. And so, even though it isn't easy sometimes to admit we don't know it all, we need to do that. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord and take correction. Take the discipline of the Lord seriously, because it's out of love. It's not a discipline out of severity. It's a discipline out of love, because he knows what he wants to do, and he knows how he's going to get us there. And so I hope you're hearing the Lord's heart. He's going to be continuing to require more of you, not less of you. See, that's the part of growing up. You know, when you're a little child, you got a little bit of a chore. You have a little bit of responsibility. But then when you begin to grow up, your parents add more to that. And the same is true spiritually as well. So I would like you to keep in the back of your mind, there's going to be a number of messages under a banner that the Lord has been going to be speaking to me under the new normal. You remember me saying that a few weeks ago? Some of you were awake. This is the first in the series of preparing for the new normal. What was normal yesterday? That's transitioning. That's changing. We're working and we're heading our focus to the new normal that God is bringing about. God bless you this week. And don't forget to join us downstairs for some fellowship and coffee and all that, smiles and testimonies and encouragement. God bless you. Of course, if you have specific prayer needs, the team will remain behind to pray with you.